Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
When you want quality Bears knowledge, there's only one person to turn to, and that's our good buddy Jeff Dickerson, who joins us right now. JD, we saw something that many didn't think was going to happen mid-game, but it did happen, and now the Bears have themselves a new quarterback. What say you?
I think if you looked at everything objectively, you knew that eventually it was going to be Nick Foles' job, Tom.
Yes.
You and I have talked about this ad nauseum.
It wasn't if, it was when.
It was when. We've talked about this publicly, privately. It was going to be Nick Foles. I wasn't sure it was going to happen in week three during a game after Trubisky had not played well, but has had some good moments in the first 2 weeks. Don't get me wrong. The decision had to be made, and there were the two plays yesterday that were the tipping points for Matt Nagy. It was missing Anthony Miller on the deep ball and then the interception on the ball intended for Jimmy Graham. That was it. He had seen enough. It's now Nick Foles' team until further notice. But to do it when he did it, like, I didn't think, if you would have asked me Friday, is there a chance if Mitch gets off to a bad start that they're going to pull him? I probably would have leaned more towards no. But what's done is done. This was going to happen. Nick Foles was not brought here to be a backup all year.
Right.
He was brought here to play. He was brought to Chicago because the quarterback performance by Mitchell Trubisky last year was not good enough. The problem with Trubisky, he's very athletic. He moves well. Stand-up guy. Good guy in the locker room. All important things for a quarterback to have. Tom, he is too inconsistent to be the starting quarterback for a perennial playoff team. And that is where the Bears are trying to go. They haven't been a perennial playoff team since the 1980s. Let's not kid ourselves here. They've made the playoffs one time since 2010, and that was Nagy's first year behind this historically great defense, and they still lost, coincidentally, to Foles, in the first round of the playoffs at home to the Eagles. But to get to where they need to go, they have to have better consistency at quarterback. I'm not saying Nick Foles is a long-term answer here. I don't believe he's a long-term answer, but it has to start somewhere. They have this cushion now. They're 3-0. Is it a soft 3-0? Yeah. Is it still 3-0? Yeah, they've added an extra team in each conference in the playoffs this year. Tom, they've got to make the playoffs now. They started out 3-0. They have to do it. They're not that beat up. The Tariq Cohen injury is unfortunate, but teams have lost a lot more than the Bears through 3 weeks. Yeah. They have to have more consistency. They have to have a guy that can see the entire field. And, Tom, you have to have a quarterback that the opponents say, we have to respect the deep ball. No one respects the deep ball when Mitchell Trubisky's the quarterback because 7 times out of 10, he's going to miss that pass. Yeah. And that's just not good enough. So it was going to happen eventually. It has happened. And Matt Nagy cleared up any misconceptions today, Tom. This is not a let's see how Nick Foles does against the Colts type deal. He is the quarterback. Could he lose his job at some point? Oh, yeah. Could he get hurt? Oh, yeah. But right now, they are not operating like this is a short-term thing. This is, he is our guy, rest of the year, And Mitch, it just is what it is.
JD, did the timing of the change midway through the third quarter, early in the third quarter, really give you insight or deeper insight into where Matt was with regard to being unsettled in his confidence in Mitch? I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but I think that that provides you a little bit of a roadmap for just where the coach was with his fourth-year quarterback.
He was looking to get out at the first chance he could get out. That's just how it is. Sorry. That might upset some people to hear that. He was looking for the first chance to make the move. You know, in Detroit, if that fourth quarter doesn't happen, who knows in week two what the deal is. But Trubisky, to his credit, had a great fourth quarter. It was the first game. I mean, it would look pretty bad to, you know, make this announcement September 6th and then, Tom, you know, a couple days later you're making the move to Nick Foles. That would have looked pretty bad. But Trubisky got himself right in the fourth quarter, played some great football. They come back and they win. We talked a lot last week. I thought Trubisky was very good in the first half against the Giants last week, didn't you?
I thought, yes. I was
very good.
Yeah, happy with him moving in the pocket, and he got rid of the boom goes the dynamite plays. Now, we saw a couple in the second half, but for the most part, yeah, I thought he showed improvement. There's no doubt.
So, you know, the second half does not go very well. Now, a lot of that was on, you know, Montgomery gets hurt. They get themselves out of rhythm. Defense is on their heels. But still, it wasn't a good second half for the offense. But because they won and because he had a good first half, I don't think you make the move there. But this was going down a road where they weren't coming back to win this game.
Think
I'm
about
sorry.
This too, JD. Like 10 quarters in. So the first two games and two quarters, the first half of the Falcons game. That's seven quarters of bad football and three quarters of good football from your offense and your quarterback. That's not acceptable, and it comes down to that. I said the best word to describe Matt right now, and look, I'm not looking to dance on Mitch's football grave. I thought yesterday he handled what he had to handle with class and professionalism, and I think that's why a lot of his teammates love him the way they do. I think the coach is liberated because he's finally able to run the offense he was brought here to install.
That's the word I used in my story tomorrow. It is kind of liberating. I mean, the handcuffs are off. Not saying that, look, Mitch didn't lose his job to Tom Brady or Peyton Manning here, right? Nick Foles is Nick Foles. He's a former Super Bowl MVP. I think he knows this system very well. He can play at a reasonably high level, but this is his fifth team. He was hurt last year in week one. He's bounced around. He was a third-string quarterback in Kansas City. He contemplated quitting after the Rams thing didn't work out in St. Louis. So, I mean, this is not like a perfect storm here. But I think what happened was you look at those plays, those two plays I mentioned. Can't hit the deep ball. Can't see a defender standing right there. Right? That, to Tom, this whole year for Trubisky was about progress. He was supposed to be better. That's what they told you. That was the explanation for why he beat out Nick Foles for the job a couple of weeks ago. It was because he has improved. He's a better player now than he was last year. I'm sorry. Those two plays were vintage Trubisky from 2019.
JD, I also think that the miss of Miller was a bigger deciding factor than the interception, because you and I have seen them scale this offense back, and they're asking Mitch to do less. And when Matt schemes open a play, designs a play that creates a wide-open receiver and Mitch airmails him again, to me that felt like the last straw even before the interception.
I think if you look at it from like a poetic standpoint, I think that play does now have more meaning as you go back and you really look at why this happened, the fact that it happened, is because Foles then hits Miller on that exact play for the game-winning touchdown. One guy can do it, one guy cannot. And that's what Matt Nagy sees. And that's what those coaches see. And that's just how it goes. This is not to say that you won't see Trubisky again, Tom. There could be an injury.
Sure.
I don't know if it would be a performance-based move, but you just never say never. And for Trubisky, I think what he has to do is he really has to take this seriously. I know it's going to be tempting to not put the work in, to be frustrated, not put as much work in, because he's not going to be getting the practice reps now. He's got to make sure if that time comes and he's got to go back in, he has to be prepared, Tom, because the rest of the league will be watching. Now, I think he's done in Chicago. I don't know. I cannot. I know we said this a lot last year, but how does he come back after this? Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, it would be foolish for the Bears to even entertain the idea of giving him another contract, even if it's a one-year deal for a league minimum. That can't happen. I'm sure he would prefer to go someplace else, fresh start. But he's young, he's athletic, right now he's healthy, and he has experience. Someone will want to sign him. And if he comes in off the bench, if this were to happen down the road and plays well, he might have a chance to sign somewhere and maybe compete for a job. If he doesn't play well and he's not prepared, and, you know, because when he gets all the snaps in practice, he goes out there, Tom, and he struggles a lot of times to process the information. Now he gets no practice reps. How's that going to look? But if he handles that the right way and manages that and puts the work in, he might be in a good spot. Otherwise, it'll just be backup. Hey, he'll make some good money. They gave him $36 million. That was what his contract was worth as a rookie. He has made money. This has not been a failure for Mitchell Trubisky. He's going to be okay. But if he wants to be a starting quarterback or be given the chance to compete for a job, I think what he does between now and the end of the year could determine a lot of that, even the fact that he's not playing.
I think the change energizes both sides of the football. I think you saw signs of that yesterday in the game. But with that in mind, JD, or taking that into consideration, I thought the offensive line wasn't nearly as good. The receivers have been uneven, to say the least. And it's a defense that is allowing 4.96 yards per carry. How damn good is this 3-0 team?
Well, they're not very good right now, but they're 3-0. I mean, they're not playing well. Are you kidding me? They've had some spurts, Tom. They could easily be 0-3. Yeah. Easily. And then they would be 0-3 to three of the worst teams in the NFL. The Falcons are a mess. You didn't have to be in Atlanta to sense that they were going to fall apart. That's how I felt watching them. I mean, this is a team that has no confidence. They're reeling from last week's loss to Dallas. The Bears are making a comeback here. They're going to fold, and they folded. The Lions won a game last week. That was kind of a surprise, but they won a game, and the Giants are hot garbage. So they're lucky to be 3-0, but they are 3-0. And you just can't overlook that. Tom, how many years have you seen teams get off to bad starts, and it's over? You can't overcome bad starts typically in the NFL. But when you get off to a good start like this, a 3-0 start, that gives you some cushion. You can lose some games now, and you still might be able to get 9-10 wins, and that's probably what it's going to take to get you in. Put it this way. Are the Bears and Packers the same type of 3-0 teams?
Ooh.
No way, right? I mean, you'd have to be insane to think that right now the Bears are playing as well as the Packers, even though they both have the same 3-0 record. But things happen. It's a long season, a lot of twists and turns, so it's not a really inspiring 3-0, but it is 3-0, and people just can't lose sight of that.
How confident are you this defense will find its way sooner rather than later?
I thought they would find their way this week. They did not find their way. That was a really rough, and I know that Matt Nagy has been talking up the defense again today. I mean, jeez, that's not a championship defense. Third straight week, we've said that. How do you let a guy run 35 yards untouched for a touchdown on third down like they did to Brian Hill? That was the worst play I've seen them have all year. And then Calvin Ridley opens up the game with a 63-yard reception. You know, Fuller passes him off to Eddie Jackson. He runs right past him. That's terrible. Easy touchdown pass to tight end two plays later. So, I feel like there are so many good players on this defense. The odds are that they're going to start playing better because you have Khalil Mack, you have Akeem Hicks, you have Eddie Jackson, Robert Quinn's playing a little more now. But I'm telling you, I'm waiting for that to happen because the first 3 weeks, these are not ones that you put on the defensive highlight reel, Tom. This has been really, really a struggle for them, and they're missing easy plays, and they're blowing a lot of coverages, which I think is very alarming.
Yeah. Obviously, the unfortunate injury to Tariq Cohen, he'll be out the remainder of the year. Any other injuries of note coming out of this game, J.D.?
Not that I am aware of. I don't believe Matt Nagy mentioned any other injuries yesterday. Now, Tariq is going on IR. That's a huge loss. However, he did sign his contract, or he got the contract. So it just shows you, right? Like when you have a chance to get a deal done, and he got a good deal from the Bears, at least from that standpoint, he is protected. But these knee injuries take a long time to heal. So I'm assuming next summer we'll be talking a lot about, you know, will he be ready for week one? Because nobody knows. It's a loss. And how they replace him in the backfield, I think, remains to be seen. Anthony Miller will return punts, I'm sure. But how they replace his role on offense will be something to watch going forward.
Anything else we missed before we let you go?
Just great talking to you, pal.
Yeah, good to talk to you as well. I'm a little excited to see what this offense looks like. Because I think for the first time in 2.5 years, you're finally going, I don't know how good it is, and I said exactly what you said, J.D. Nick Foles isn't Aaron Rodgers. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not, you know, Deshaun Watson. He's Nick Foles. But Matt's finally going to get an opportunity to install an offense that he's wanted to install for 2.5 years.
I was also a little underwhelmed with our guy Cap's public statement today. I was a little underwhelmed by it. I liked his statement last year better than this year.
I didn't see it. Did he make a statement?
Oh, yeah, he made a statement.
I did not see
it. Did you guys play that on the show?
We have not played it, but we can.
You know what, Chris? Why don't we do this? Yeah. I'm not trying to program your show.
Please,
I know we got Waddle's World. We got things here.
Now, listen, we could use some help in terms of programming our show.
Why don't you do this for him next segment, Chris?
Yeah.
For you and Abdallah to laugh.
Yeah.
Play Cap from last year and then play Cap from today. And you tell me which statement is more satisfying and which statement is a little more like, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been supporting the 28th ranked passer in the NFL last year as aggressively as I was.
Yeah, it made no sense.
I feel like he captured the sentiment correctly last year. This morning, I'm not sure if sending a take that towards Mitch was the way to go. I'm not sure that really encapsulated what's been going on here.
He sent a take that to Mitch?
He did send a take that to Mitch. He did at the
end. He'll say take that to anybody.
That is his thing.
You know?
Boy, so play those two and let Tom decide for
himself. Friends like that, you don't need enemies, right, JD? My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, he's liberal to take that.
Okay.
And you would have thought after 3 years of being right there with number 10 – that maybe Mitch would have been spared to take that. But nope, hashtag right. Take that. He got it.
Awesome. JD, thanks so much. Always great to talk to you, buddy.
All right, bud.
Take care. Jeff Dickerson, best in the business. When we come back.
Hold on, Waddle. Hold on.
This is Breaking News, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's a doozy, too.
What? According to Adrian Wojnarowski, coach Doc Rivers is out with the Clippers, sources have told ESPN.
Really? Surprised?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How many times has Wilbon told you how much that Ballmer loves Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
Was that a Doc Rivers decision
Doc Rivers is out with the Clippers.
Okay.
It doesn't say he was fired by or let go or terminated or whatever. All it says is Coach Doc Rivers is out with the Clippers.
There are a few open spots right now. The 76ers looking for a head coach.
Right.
The Rockets looking for a head coach for next season.
Now the Clippers.
If you're a Bulls fan, did you jump too soon?
Don't know. We'll talk about that. And Matt Nagy spoke today. I want to get to that as well when we come back.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Back to the Bears conversation. As you heard just before the break, breaking news, Doc Rivers out as the Clippers head coach.
I'll say this, Waddle. It's surprising because of how much respect Doc Rivers has in the NBA.
Right.
On one hand, though, with Steve Ballmer, this guy has so much money, and he's put so much money into this franchise, he does not like losing. He wants the Clippers to be better than the Lakers and bigger than the Lakers in Los Angeles.
Right.
And the Lakers are now in the finals on way possibly winning another title. I'm like, part of me, it's shocking because Doc Rivers is a well-respected coach. The other part is it seems as if Steve Ballmer is very impatient, and no matter who is in that spot going forward, if they don't win and they don't produce, he's going to be flipping coaches all the time trying to find that secret sauce to get a winner in there. Because think about what they pulled off last offseason. They pulled off Paul George and Kawhi Leonard joining the Clippers. So it's shocking to see, but it's also like Steve Ballmer is not cool getting bounced in the second round.
It just goes to show you as well. Money eases some of your problems, but it doesn't guarantee a championship. You know what it does? It guarantees you the ability to buy your way out of some mistakes if you deem them mistakes. I don't know. I mean, yeah. Doc Rivers has had a fantastic career as a coach in the NBA. He's also the only guy, I believe, the only coach that has lost a 3-1 lead in the postseason three separate times, correct? I think we talked with Mike Wilbon about that last week, but very well respected
for
sure.
Listen, are you going to blame Doc when Paul George never shows up in playoff series? Yeah, I mean, like,
listen,
like,
coaches when you win, coaches get a ton of credit. When you lose, coaches get a ton of blame. It goes with the job. Whether it's fair or not, it's going to stick with you for sure.
So JD wanted us to play. So you've heard snippets of Cap's apology today, or his statement, air quotes, his statement on Trubisky. It was in our montage that we played earlier that hopefully Cap and Jay Hood play tomorrow. It's why we put it together, so that they can.
Like, we like to share sound.
Yeah, we're just trying to help everyone out.
Right.
Help the teammates out, right? So here is Cap's full. Now,
where is this from?
Which order did JD want us to play, the old one or the new one first?
I don't know.
So this was last year after the Eagles game when Trubisky was terrible in the first half, 9 yards of offense for the Bears offense last year. The following Monday, this is Cap on the air.
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth an apology.
Remember that? Like, we played it, and there was a part of it in the montage.
Goldfish, and the dog, cat, bird.
Yeah, the whole deal right there.
Admitting his mistake in terms of judging his quarterback, his quarterback analysis.
Wrong on
bird, cat, dog, goldfish.
Shout out to the birds and the goldfish out there. Here is today Cap's official statement on Trubisky being benched.
All right, here we go. Take your shots. I was in Mitchell Trubisky's corner, but here's the truth. He foobarred his opportunity, folks. He had the job. All he had to do was play better. He didn't. He gave the job up to Nick Foles, and now we got to all get behind Nick Foles. Nick Foles played his ass off today. Should have had 5 touchdown passes. He had 3 because Allen Robinson for the second straight week had one ripped out of his hands, and Anthony Miller for the second straight week dropped a touchdown. But the fact of the matter is, Mitchell Trubisky didn't make the most of his opportunity. So you want to fire on me? Bring it on. I got strong shoulders. It's Nick Foles' team now, but Mitch better stay ready because Nick can never stay healthy. And if he gets hurt, God forbid, it's going right back to Mitchell Trubisky. So if you think you've seen the last of him, you probably haven't. So take that, Mitchell Trubisky. You had your chance. You didn't get it done. You got to wear it just like I've got to wear it. Go Bears.
Well, he said take that to Mitch. Wow. He used to be his most ardent supporter. Listen, whether it's Cap or anybody else, the issue here is that it's always the same issue. He's the same guy through two games and 2 quarters as he was for the last 3 years. That's the problem. Not consistently good enough. I think JD summarized it perfectly. Flashes, but not consistently good enough to take you to where you want to go, and that's to be a perennial playoff team. So more conversation, more Bears conversation. Again, a huge comeback. Win 30-26 was the final yesterday. Nick Foles named the starting quarterback going forward. Matt Nagy had a lot to say. We'll bring you what he had to say when we come back.
Bird.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All your Bears thoughts are welcome. 312-332-3776. Bears have made a quarterback change that was on display yesterday in Atlanta. Matt Nagy told everybody today that the change is pretty much permanent, right, guys? Barring an injury or a catastrophe, it kind of sounds like this is a permanent move. Before we get to some sound from the Bears coach, Mike is in Frankfurt. And he has a comment that he would like to share with us. Mike.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
And earlier in the top of the hour, 2 o'clock, a guy called and said that was the greatest performance he saw by a quarterback when Foles brought him back. But kind of reminiscent to the 84 game that McMahon brought the Bears back against Minnesota.
The Vikings game.
Yeah, when he's drawing at Ditka the whole game because Steve Fuller was quartering. Bears were down. I believe they were 24-7, maybe. McMahon threw 3 touchdown passes. I think 2 to McKinnon and 1 to Gault. But there are some wild comparisons. They're both number 9. Foles has a visor like McMahon because of McMahon's eye. And it was the 3rd game of the season. I'm just saying, it could happen.
Yeah. All right.
Super Bears, Super Bowl, Super Bears, Super Bowl.
Okay, Mike, we appreciate the call. I mean,
were you saying this can't happen?
No, I'm not.
Are they undefeated?
So, I mean, was the thought that this is like then and this is automatically going to lead to a Super Bowl championship?
All I know is that the last time the Bears played in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl, they had a quarterback that came in the 3rd game and won in come from behind fashion.
He wasn't a replacement, though. Jim was a starting quarterback then.
Hold on. Did we discuss this yet? Same number.
Yes.
Did we talk about that yet?
He said that.
Same number.
How about that?
Yeah, okay. He said that.
Right. Take same
that.
Number. Yeah. Same number.
Same number. That equates to yes.
Wait, hold on.
Doubt.
One more thing.
Lombardi Trophy coming your way.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that Nick Foles and Jim McMahon both were number 9?
Same number.
Believe so.
And head of
eyes. Do you guys like the way the number looked back then, or do you like the way it looks now on the uni?
I don't notice anything. I don't notice anything.
It was like a rounded 9.
Really?
I
think it looks better back in the day because Nick Foles probably deserves 11 or 12.
You want to play some of Coach Nagy's comments from earlier today, Chris? If you could lay that out,
sure, Tom.
Could
here's
you give
Matt
us
Nagy.
Good idea what it's
no.
Sure. We try to turn the page here.
Here's a head coach for your Chicago Bears with the new numbers. Talking about Nick Foles, now the starter for the Bears.
Obviously, I know everyone's going to have questions with the quarterbacks. You know, we got together last night as coaches, and we talked about some stuff about where we were. We got up this morning and went through the tape, and at the end of it, we decided that we're going to start Nick Foles as a starter against Indianapolis. So both quarterbacks are aware of that. I know it's, you know, for us, it's never easy. When you go into these type of situations, I want to credit both of those guys in yesterday's situation for being really supportive of each other this whole time. Even as hard as that was for Mitch to be told that he's, you know, Nick's going to go in and play. Mitch was, to his credit, was just an awesome supporter of Nick the rest of that game. And he flat out told Nick, I'm going to have your back just like you've had mine from the start. I think that speaks to who he is, as well with him speaking to all you guys after the game, which he doesn't have to do, and he did it. And I think that speaks volumes to Mitch and who he is as a person. So, you know, we're still going to support each other as we move forward here. We have a healthy quarterback room, and we're just looking forward to prepping here against the Colts.
I agree with what Matt had to say. And I saw a lot of people. I only tweeted, I think, twice yesterday because I just – Sometimes football Sundays are weird on Twitter. But I appreciated the way that Mitch handled it as well. Like, I'm not tossing bouquets at anyone. But that's a really difficult environment for a young guy who failed to get the job done and had to be replaced. There are a lot of turds out there that wouldn't have handled it the way that Mitch handled it. So I got no problem tipping my cap to that. I know the tough guys out there, oh, he's paid $10 million to do it. Don't care if he's a good guy. Just throw me some TDs. I need some tutties on Sunday.
Touchdowns, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got it. Like, that's all implied. That's all implied. All of it's implied that what I want most from my quarterback is to play the position efficiently. But you know what? In difficult times, you kind of see some character in people. I tell my kids, you don't get extra credit for not doing drugs. I'm not giving Mitch any extra credit, but I'm giving him credit for stepping to the podium, or however it's done these days with the Zoom interviews. He didn't have to do it, as Matt said, and he did do it. So, you know what? I give a thumbs up to Mitch, how he handled a difficult situation. What else did Matt have to say that was worth playing, Chris?
So he talked about Foles' ability at the line to ad-lib. Here's the coach for the Bears, Matt Nagy.
There was no change necessarily at the end of the game with that touchdown pass to Anthony Miller, but there was some mechanics of how to get to that play based off of something that we saw prior in the game. And so in that two minute warning break in the huddle and the TV timeout, they were talking through the mechanics of how they're going to get to that if they show us a particular look on defense, and they did. So that's one example of just the communication in the huddle of that happening. There were several other plays that we had within too, that there were some ad-libbing like Jimmy said, which is something that Nick has kind of always done. That's a strength of his that he has, and he's seen a lot of different defenses. And I think, you know, that'll be something that when it's done the right way can be very effective. And I think that's probably what some of those guys are talking about.
The quarterback coach relationships that work the best are collaboratives. It's a collaboration between, like, the coach can call play. He can scheme guys open. And Matt has done that on a number of occasions. But he's also relying on his quarterback, and he's trusting what the quarterback sees. So the communication between the two is important. I thought it was really cool that, you know, they talked about how Nick Foles, you know, looked at his Big Denny's menu, the play calling sheet, and highlighted some things he wanted to see. But there were plenty of examples of what Nick Foles brings to the table in terms of being a professional quarterback. As JD said, and as I've said a bunch, it ain't going to be perfect. Aaron Rodgers didn't just put on a Bears uniform, but you're going to see a guy that knows where the ball is supposed to go 99% of the time. Anything else that we need to play? Or when we come back, we're going to bring you the good, the bad, and the dirty, and maybe some more thoughts from Matt Nagy.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000, the good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
It is the good, the bad, and the dirty from this weekend. It is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water. 5% alcohol and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. Are we going to Saturday for you for stuff, Abdallah? Oh, I know you had a big Saturday.
Oh, you know it. We had a great Saturday.
Yeah. I think we all had a good Saturday.
I threw an offer, but was your good how LSU lost? Was that or was
it? Why don't you start?
I'm going to defer to you guys.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
I'll start.
What is your good, Adam?
My good goes to my guy, Big Leach. That'd be Big Mike Leach, for those who aren't aware, who goes into LSU, goes into Death Valley.
Yeah.
KJ Costello puts up 623
transfer
yards,
from Stanford, right?
Five touchdowns. Oh, there was nothing more satisfying than watching LSU lose until Alabama then won. It's a good day when Alabama wins. It's a great day.
By the way,
when
did Alabama you see the number LSU of wins. LSU guys from last year's team that either graduated?
Oh,
and
so
went
they
to
had
the
like
end,
18 players, right?
And then some guys that decided to opt out this
yep.
year.
And Joe Brady went and to be offensive
to
coordinator of the Panthers. Yeah.
But I don't want to let that stand in the way of your joy.
No, don't let it. And then, I mean, Auburn ended up winning against Kentucky, but it was a good game. There's a lot of good games on Saturday. I'm not going to take away from other people's
goods.
I don't know what
sneaking out of Alumni Stadium with a win over Texas State.
Texas Tech was a thriller. It was a great game as well.
Okay.
Tons of good football on Saturday.
So college football in general and highlighted by Alabama's win and LSU's losses, you're good.
I feel what Abdallah's doing there, Waddle, because I get it. As a USC fan, there's no better day than when the Trojans win and the Fighting Irish lose.
Pac-12 are going to play, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For Boston College, who's that team for you? That it's just as good of a day when you get the W as when they lose. Because, like, USC fans, it's like when UCLA and Notre Dame both lose, pretty good day. Pretty good day. I get what Abdallah's doing there. LSU loses.
Yeah,
that's a great day.
You know what? I'm not a petty person like
no,
that,
no, but
so I'm
sure
going to stay above the fray constantly.
BC has rivals?
You know how much
Did BC have rivals?
You know how much Massachusetts,
go to a school that had a football team?
Does it matter?
Just because you played football, why do we get
that.
It?
Didn't
we understand.
That.
Which
I went to a school.
I went to a school that had a football program.
We went to art school.
I went to art school. Let me paint you a picture.
Do that.
Let me paint you a picture. You know how much crap I had to take for LSU being good last year? So take that, Ed Orgeron.
Okay,
and your herd immunity.
You know
get out of here.
Herd immunity. Just as I expected. Chris, what's your good?
Oh, yeah. So I was going to give you our NBA Finals matchup. I think it's a good NBA Finals matchup. So shout out to the Heat winning last night, beating the Celtics to get there from the East.
Bam had, like, what, 32?
Yeah, he's impressive. But that's going to be a good matchup between Bam and AD. I would assume AD is going to be the better player in the series. And then LeBron James going for another championship. So I'm going to say my good Lakers Heat Finals kickoff on Wednesday.
Should be exciting. I think the Heat have been a really fun team to watch.
Yeah.
My good is Joe Burrow yesterday in a tie. Joe Burrow, 31 of 44 for 312 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions while being mauled by the Philadelphia Eagles. He was sacked 8 times. 8 times he was sacked and still did not throw an interception. Do you realize in 3 games, Joe Burrow has been sacked 14 times and he's thrown 5 touchdowns and 1 interception? I think Joe Burrow, despite being in a really difficult situation in Cincinnati, has shown you he's the goods in 3 games as a rookie.
I've been surprised by that. I thought that the story of rookie quarterbacks would be Tua. This season, Tua hasn't even seen the field, and Joe Burrow is incredible.
And I thought the story,
incredible.
Chris, was going to be that
incredible.
This is going to be an impossible task for a rookie quarterback who had no OTAs and limited training camp, and yet he has stepped in, and he looks like the real deal, for sure.
Real deal. I think the Bengals have the next great quarterback. He's gonna be the guy.
He looks good. What's your bad, Adam?
My bad goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. What, like, take a shot downfield. Take a chance at a long field goal. What are you punting for?
Oh, they packed it in.
What are you punting for a tie for? I'm not gonna take credit
punting
for this.
Punting for a tie.
I'm not taking credit for this because I saw this from Barstool Big Cat. But Doug Peterson literally wrote a book called Fearless and then punted for a tie.
After the championship, he wrote a book. How about this? Were you guys watching that game?
Now, wait a second. He's thinking about this and knowing in the NFC East, especially with the slow start they've gotten off to, the tie may be the difference between them getting in the postseason and not.
They weren't going to lose.
Yeah, just go for it. The clock would run out.
Yeah.
Did they have one play left? I didn't see the actual
last. Yeah, it was like there was like 10 seconds left or so.
Let me look to be exact. Right. Yeah, and they punted.
Waddle, were you guys watching though the end of that? Like you didn't see the highlights? Like they were talking about how if fans were in the stands, Philly fans would have been booing them off the field.
Yeah.
Because of the decision at the end to just take the tie. Yeah, how pathetic.
That's fair.
And
they punted with 18 seconds left in overtime.
Yeah.
So I guess if you They were at the Philly 49.
Okay, but so the Bengals have time.
That's okay, though, but how much time was left? 18 seconds?
So if you punt it, you figure you might have 10 seconds left. They could try their own 50-yard. Or if you miss a field goal, they could then get on the field, and that takes like 8 seconds off to kick the field goal. They could then come back and kick a field
goal. Not with that kicker. Remember, he grabbed his calf when he missed the 30-yarder in the opening game of the season, and he wasn't on the injury report. Chris, what's your bet?
My bad. How about the Chicago White Sox? I mean, what has taken place over the last week? At the end of the season, you drop. You're one. You know what? A week and a half ago, we're talking about, is this the best team in the American League? You then go to Cleveland. You look bad. You show up at home. The Cubs beat your brains in all weekend, and now you're the seventh seed, taking on a good Oakland Athletics team here in the wild card round.
Yeah,
come on,
not good.
Sox, listen. Waddle, I've been preaching this on the baseball show. I am not looking at this season as, well, I am happy, lucky that they're good this season. I'm glad they're involved.
Right.
No. You play that well for that long during this season, I expect you to then perform in the playoffs.
Fair.
And I hope that that takes place.
Yep.
So it's bad. This has been a bad week. Bad.
My bad is something we talked about earlier, the KB conversation on the north side. He doesn't give a bleep. It's such a silly manufactured controversy.
I don't give a
okay, fantastic. I mean, and I don't care that some people are asking the question, what will Chris Bryant's future be here in Chicago? What will they be willing to spend on him and all the things surrounding that? We'll have time with Sylvie tomorrow. I know he's probably hot about this, and we'll dive in a little deeper on that. Adam, what's your dirty?
That's a good question.
You don't have one?
You don't get a point for that. No, I had one, but then I had to redo the window.
How about
it was
over there?
Because I thought you were going to use it for your dirty, so I was looking for a new one. But I'm going to take the barrel roll tackle.
The
gator roll tackle.
Tristan Hill executed the gator roll on Seahawks running back Chris Carson.
I was
going to
use that one, but I thought you would, so I closed out the window so I could get his name right. Okay. But yeah, Chris Carson injured his knee. Why are we doing this? And my other one was going to be the penalty for roughing the passer on the Khalil Mack strip sack. Because I felt like when Matt Ryan is going to the ground, you can't stop when you're trying to tackle someone.
You're right. It's a very unfortunate call that Edwards was flagged for. It's the right call based on the rules, but you are 100% correct. That's a tough call.
But you got to be able to, I'm not saying you can challenge that. You got to be able to look at that and be like, look, the intention, he wasn't trying to go for the head. It's like a two-prong thing where Matt Ryan is falling and Edwards is going after him, and if he wouldn't have been falling, he would have hit him right in the chest where he was supposed to be hitting him, but because he was falling, he ended up hitting him in the head area, so he can't, it's the intent. Intent has to be a part of it, Waddle.
We could talk about that at the 5 o'clock hour. Chris, what's your dirty?
Give me the Saturday night marquee matchup, Miami-Florida State. Miami, dirty. How about the U? They're back, 52-10 over Florida State. I thought that was a great game for the U, and I think being ranked the 12th team in the country, they'll be a top 10 team probably this week. I think they're back. I think the U's back.
I like it. My dirty is Jimmy Cordero, the White Sox reliever who threw at Wilson Contreras. I guess bat flips are only cool if it's your teammates that are actually flipping the bat, right? Like when the other team flips the bat, it's not cool, it's not acceptable, so you throw at him. He got suspended, right? Didn't Jimmy Cordero get suspended?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, are bat flips cool? Are they cool or are they not cool, guys?
Cool. They're cool.
They're cool.
Yep.
Are we sure?
Yeah, official statement from the baseball show, they're cool.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys will talk about that tonight as well. Hey, when we come back, more of your Bears calls, 312-332-3776. Big win in Atlanta yesterday. The Bears have themselves a new quarterback. We'll talk about all of that in two short moments, all brought to you by our friends at Legal Rideshare.